Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. This is Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu, and we're getting ready for a Packers game this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. And in our Buccaneers primer episode here at Railbird Central, we're kicking things off right away this morning with Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus. Nathan, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Fantastic. Let's get right to it. Nathan, Aaron Rodgers is having a fantastic, phenomenal, unbelievable season this year. How is he doing it?
He's doing great so far this year. Recently, we posted our MVP candidates, and right now he's currently sitting at the top. There is one statistic that he is doing by far the best in the league, and that's accuracy percentage, which at Pro Football Focus, we're more of a statistic-based website. He, in this past game, he was 23 for 30 in terms of completion percentage. But for accuracy percentage, we take things into account like drops, passes thrown away, and spikes. And in that game, he had three passes dropped and two thrown away. So when we take that into account, it's 93%. And so far, the best two games by any quarterback at all this year have been Aaron Rodgers' two games against the Vikings.
That's pretty amazing, 93%. It's just unfathomable how accurate Aaron Rodgers is. The guys Aaron Rodgers is throwing the ball to aren't bad either. What have you noticed about the Packers' receiving corps this season?
The receiving corps is playing very well. Greg Jennings, we have rated as one of the better receivers in the league for the past few years. And then followed up, Jordy Nelson, who we saw late last year start to step up, and he has continued that this year, and he also is ranking as one of our top 10 wide receivers in the game right now. After that, JerMichael Finley, as you would expect, is one of our better receiving tight ends. And then we also see Randall Cobb, who is playing above average football whenever we throw the ball to him, which is great. And then even James Jones, who was having all these drops in previous years, he's had a big step up. However, Donald Driver, we saw him start to decline in about 2009. So he's not playing as good of football as we remember him back in the good old days. But he's still playing all right at times.
You know, the receivers are doing well. Protecting Aaron Rodgers is just as important for the Packers in terms of a position group and the offense's success. A guy who's been under the microscope a lot this season is left tackle Marshall Newhouse, who's filling in for Chad Clifton. How has Newhouse performed this year?
Newhouse has performed like a below-average left tackle, but we've also seen that kind of play from Clifton over the past 2 years at times. So far, Newhouse has allowed 5 sacks, 2 hits, and 16 hurries this year, which equates to allowing some sort of pressure on 8% of pass plays, where earlier this year, Chad Clifton was allowing pressure on 10% of pass plays. So in terms of that, Newhouse has actually outperformed Clifton. But the reason that I would expect Clifton to be back in the lineup is Clifton is a significantly better run blocker. To keep things simple, we've measured Clifton as having more above-average run-blocking plays than below-average, where Newhouse is the other way around. He's had more below-average or bad run plays where, and less good ones.
Very interesting that you say that. I mean, most people don't think of Chad Clifton and run-blocking, but you're actually saying he's better than, well, at least Marshall Newhouse. We're talking to Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com here at Railbird Central. Nathan, on the other side of the football, I don't think B.J. Raji has quite been the same player we saw a season ago. Would you agree with that statement?
I would absolutely agree. All of the numbers back that up. In terms of him getting pressure on the quarterback, so far this season he's had 2 sacks, 1 hit, and 8 hurries, where if you combine that, he had more pressure on quarterbacks in the conference championship game and the Super Bowl combined than he's had in 9 games this year. And most of the pressure he's brought was early on in the season. So over the past six games, he has only had three pressures, which is a terrible number considering how often he's on the field.
It's very surprising to me. Just he hasn't played up quite to that run last year, that playoff run in which he really, you know, became noticed. Of course, the big interception in the NFC Championship game. You know, also on the defensive side, the Packers secondary seems to be an enigma. They've been giving up a lot of big plays, yet they're pretty darn good at intercepting passes. What's your take on the Packers secondary so far this year?
Secondary, I think part of the problem is that the Packers are always in the lead, so then it looks like they're giving up a lot of big plays. So I think that's part of the problem in that people say they're ranked so low, but that's because they're giving up yards because the other team is always throwing the ball. But it's also that some of the players aren't playing as well as they did last year. I think the Packers are missing Nick Collins at safety, and Fremont Williams was playing like better than most cornerbacks in the league last year, and now he's just been playing above average, so that's been a problem. The linebackers also haven't been as good at coverage, but luckily in recent games, the secondary has picked things up some. Both Charles Woodson and Fremont Williams have been playing a lot better than they were in September, and while I was listening to your last show, like you said, Shields was pretty much invisible in the last game. He only allowed one catch for, I think, around 10 yards, and he was only thrown at four times.
How about the team the Packers are playing this Sunday at Lambeau Field, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What's your take on them?
I think Tampa Bay typically plays better than you would expect them to, and they've ended up winning games even though they don't have the talent that other teams do. I think two big matchups that you can watch for occur at right tackle. For the Buccaneers, they have Jeremy Trueblood at right tackle, and he has allowed 36 overall pressures this year, which is high for at this point of the season. So Clay Matthews should have a really big game against the Buccaneers.
That's...
On the opposite side of the ball...
Go ahead.
Michael Bennett, or yes?
Go ahead. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Okay. Michael Bennett, the Buccaneers' defensive left end, not to be confused with the former Badger, he is by far the Buccaneers' best defensive player, and he'll be lined up against Bulaga. So Bulaga, who's played much better this year than last year, this will be a big matchup to see if he's really taking a step forward and if he can play against some of the more elite defensive ends in the league. But outside of that, everyone in the Buccaneers' nickel defense, in terms of their secondary as well as their linebackers, have performed below average in coverage this year. So Aaron Rodgers should be playing even better than we're used to seeing him, which there's not much room for improvement, but we could very well see it in this game.
What are we going to see? 500 yards from Aaron Rodgers? That's pretty unbelievable. And I was going to say, I mean, that's just music to Packer fans' ears that Clay Matthews could be in for a big game. So putting you on the spot here, Nathan, though, do you have a prediction for the game?
I would say that the Buccaneers might be able to keep it close since Josh Freeman is a special quarterback, but I would definitely see a Packers victory scoring around 38 points to maybe 24.
Sounds good. Nathan, Pro Football Focus has its own unique brand of statistics analysis. Can you give our viewers and our listeners just an idea of what you do there?
Sure. What we do is we have three people watch every player on every play and what they do on the play. So we have two people marking down who everyone is, where they lined up at the beginning of the play, and what they did on the play. So we have a good idea of what people's playing time is and how often they do specific roles. And then we have someone else run analysis on the game where we have this big intensive guide of how we rate players. So if a player does well on a play, they get some sort of positive grade. If they don't do well on the play, it's some sort of negative grade. And most players aren't that involved with the play, so they get a score of 0 on that play. So then we normalize all the numbers so that a player's overall rating for that game or over the course of the season will have a positive grade if they are playing above average football, or a negative grade if they are playing below average football. So we have statistics on every single player rather than just the role players. So we have an idea of how everyone is doing rather than just the quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers.
I think it's fantastic, and I think you guys do a great job at Pro Football Focus. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us this morning here on Railbird Central. Let's do it again sometime.
Thanks for having me.
Okay, have a good day. Thanks for joining us. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com joining us here on Cheesehead TV, and fantastic analysis of what the Packers have done this season and their upcoming game this Sunday against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Lambeau Field. I thought the most interesting part was the Chad Clifton run blocking that we brought up. You know, nobody thinks of Chad Clifton as a great run blocker, but to say he's actually better than Marshall Newhouse, what is that saying? That's kind of a scary proposition, almost, saying that Marshall Newhouse is not a good run blocker at all. And I suppose that's why we see the Packers have so much success running to the other side of the field when they actually take to the ground game. James Starks, Ryan Grant running behind Josh Sitton and Brian Bulaga. And I like the part, too, about talking about Brian Bulaga and the job that he faces this Sunday against the Buccaneers, and kind of a see how much he's improved, see where he's at in his development as he has a tough opponent to play across the line of scrimmage from. And, you know, this is one of those type of games. I mean, you can't overlook any opponent. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have just enough talent to scare you. Last year, quarterback Josh Freeman put together a heck of a year, especially for a young quarterback in the NFL. And you got to be ready for that. You got to be ready for him. LeGarrette Blount has exceeded expectations in the NFL and can put together a good game. The Buccaneers' offensive line, is that they haven't had a lot of turnover there. They're a cohesive unit. They know one another, even if they haven't performed all that well. So there's something to be said about that. They've got Albert Haynesworth now, and he has the potential to be dominant. It's merely potential, though, most of the time, and it doesn't always come out. Although, all things considered, I think he did have a pretty good game last weekend, notching as many tackles as he did without much preparation time in between being waived by the New England Patriots and being picked up by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And then, of course, there's cornerback Rondé Barber. Not unlike Charles Woodson, a veteran guy, savvy, who can play the run and the pass, the type of guy who was all over the field and will blitz as well. So he's used in the same way the Packers use Charles Woodson, covering that slot a lot. And, those type of guys, those type of players that I mentioned, you know, make them just dangerous enough to be, to not overlook. All that being said, I just think the Packers dominate this game after I try to make the case to not overlook the Buccaneers. But, their defense is so poor, that I just think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a field day. As Nathan Yonke said, we can expect a better game from Aaron Rodgers. How much better can Aaron Rodgers get? I mean, seriously, are we talking 500 yards? Are we talking 6 touchdowns through the air? Unbelievable. Oh, it's amazing. It's, wow. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. Will the weather start to play a part with the Packers? It is late November now, mid-November, past the halfway point in November. It's at the point of the year where, you know, it starts to get a little bit cold, a little bit chilly. The snow isn't flying yet, but you never know. One of those, freak snowstorms could pop up at any time here in northern Wisconsin where the Packers are. So, anyhow, let's get to some of today's headlines. I left a link at the top of the live blog to this morning's Packers Daily Links. Please scroll up, open up, and let's talk about what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And by all means, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 646-797-2909. If you want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, the upcoming Buccaneers game on Sunday, or anything else, feel free to call in or leave your comments on the live blog. But let's get to some of today's headlines. Top story today, James Starks receives a wake-up call. Good article from Fox Sports Wisconsin, writer Paul Immig interviewing James Starks and others about his wake-up call. Week 3 against the Chicago Bears, kind of a disappointing game for James Starks. What was it? It was 5 carries, 11 yards. He fumbled. It was not a good game, and coincidentally, that happened to be Ryan Grant's big game, his one big game this season in which he had, 90-plus rushing yards, and all of a sudden, it's like, wow, a light bulb turned on in James Starks, and ever since that point, it's kind of been the vice versa effect. It's been Starks running the ball well, and Ryan Grant kind of in the shadows. And the quote here directly from James Starks, quote, "It really helped me out. Like, wake up. This isn't the same as last year. You've got to get better. I remember how I felt coming off the Bears game. That basically just woke me up. I felt like I could have played better, so I felt like I let my team down." Interesting coming from James Starks. And, you know, like I said, it's been, you know, night and day since that time. I just saw the statistics, and maybe somebody on the live blog could post them here. James Starks' cumulative statistics for the season. I think he's already at over 500 yards rushing, and the Packers are at 9 games into the season. So there's a possibility James Starks could be a 1,000-yard rusher this year. He's going to have to keep it up, going to have, you know, he can't afford to have any more games like the Bears game, probably, in which he only gets 11 yards. But, he could be at the point where we could be seeing a Packers 1,000-yard rusher. And that's not bad for a guy who's been, you know, splitting carries somewhat with Ryan Grant. Starks has been getting the majority, and I expect he'll continue to get the majority. But that would be nice to see for Neo, for James Starks, to be able to hit that milestone in only his second year with the Packers. Jamie Jorres posting it here on the live blog, 503 yards. And Nathan Jahnke giving us some more of these pro football-focused statistics here. 109 carries, 503 yards, 301 yards coming after contact. 18 players have missed tackles on him. So there you go. I mean, that's kind of indication of how well James Starks has played so far this year and the potential that a player like he has. And the Packers are benefiting from having James Starks in their backfield. You know, personally, I think that James Starks is going to be the feature guy next year. I think that Ryan Grant is going to leave via free agency. I don't think the Packers will have him back. He's, you know, you've kind of seen him regress a little bit from where he was at. Not to say he can't still be an effective running back, but, you know, I just think that, you know, the time is probably come and gone for Ryan Grant. Not that it's gone yet. I mean, he'll be a factor the rest of the season. Not a huge factor, but I mean, he's going to get his share of carries from here on out. I see the Packers, sticking with him and, you know, taking some of the burden off of Starks. So, but once the season's done, he's an unrestricted free agent. And also it's one of those things where, if Ryan Grant leaves, the Packers could get a compensatory draft choice the following year. And, you know, I think that'll be, why the Packers decide to not bring him back. They could be compensated if he does leave. Now, the question does become, though, you know, what is his worth on the market? Does any team out there want Ryan Grant? You know, I think there will be interest. I think he can definitely sign with a team somewhere in the NFL. I suppose, though, it's a matter of how much money a team is going to want to invest. Many teams would take a flyer on him, a multi-thousand-yard rusher, two times in his career, and I think another time he had 900-some yards, so almost a three-time 1,000-yard rusher. But, you know, it's who's going to pay him to be their feature back? Probably no one. It could be one of those things where he gets a contract like Brandon Jackson got this year in free agency. You know, he left the Packers for the Cleveland Browns for a modest contract. And, you know, I think that's all you could ask if you're the Packers. They signs a modest contract, you get a mid to a late round compensatory draft choice in return, and I think Alex Green takes his place next year. I think Alex Green is kind of a bulkier guy. He's been compared to Steven Jackson of the Rams. It wouldn't be that wouldn't that be big if Alex Green could be the next Steven Jackson? Not that I'm expecting him to. But, you know, a guy who can fight for the tough yards, a guy who's big enough to, you know, carry blockers and, you know, get yards when their yards aren't there, when there's defensive linemen to run through in the holes and fight for that extra first down, something like that. So, and I think Brandon Sane is your eventual ideal third down back. A lot of people talk this season how Alex Green was the third down, going to be the third down back, thought he would develop into that. And, you know, I just don't think that's what Alex Green is. He played in a spread offense at Hawaii where they chuck the ball around a lot. But I think, you know, Brandon Sane is going to be the better pass receiver, which is big on third downs. You know, those outlet passes, things like that. And, you know, who's going to be the better blocker? That's yet to be seen. I think Alex Green is probably better equipped to be the better blocker. He's just a bigger guy in general, but that doesn't always mean anything. As long as you are in good position, a smaller guy could be a better blocker. But you know, it's yet to be seen. Those are young running backs. So anyhow, getting off tangent here on what is the headlines for today and today's Packers Daily Links. And the second story today is all about Brandon Sane. Packers head coach Mike McCarthy saying that he wants to get Sane involved in the offense. And I think it'll be one of those types of things where they're getting him involved in situational work. He'll probably play on third downs only. The Packers will figure out ways and packages to use him, how to use him, and it's probably only going to be a couple snaps a game because obviously they're not going to want to take James Starks off the field too much, and when they do, they're going to replace him more often than not with Ryan Grant. Okay, so, I mean, you know, there's not a lot of playing time to be had for a guy like Brandon Sane, but again, they're going to figure out certain ways to get the ball in his hands, a screen pass here, an outlet pass there, and that's how they'll use him. That's how they're going to use a young rookie like that who doesn't have an intimate knowledge of the offense yet, a guy who is only on the 53-man roster recently. Of course, Brandon Sane being the injury replacement to Alex Green, who injured his knee, torn ACL, out for the year, and was on the practice squad before that. I mean, that's a good thing. I mean, Brandon Sane's been around long enough now, if you include training camp and the time he spent on the practice squad. I mean, at least he was with the Packers the whole time, learning their offense, albeit a good portion of it playing on the scout team and playing the part of their opponent's offense, but still better than being on the street and not being involved with the Packers at all. So a lot of news today about the Packers running backs. Feature article today, again, link in the Packers Daily Links, about fullback John Kuhn. Little bit of a different role he's playing this year. Last year, of course, carrying the ball fairly often. Injuries ravaged the position last year. Ryan Grant out for the year. And so John Kuhn had to be the occasional ball carrier when, you know, it was proved Brandon Jackson really wasn't all that great. And of course, John Kuhn got all the short yardage carries and goal line carries, things like that. Became the folk hero by scoring touchdowns and just having a name that lends itself to Packers cheering Kuhn. But yeah, he goes back to the fullback position this year. He's never changed from that. He played fullback last year as well. But, less carries coming his way, but doing well. Still getting the occasional short yardage carry. Has a handful of touchdowns. And actually leads the NFC in voting at fullback. Wouldn't it be nice for John Kuhn to get his first ever Pro Bowl nod? And we'll see. I mean, that's just the fan balloting as it takes place for the Pro Bowl. Player balloting and coaches voting factors into the equation as well. So while the fans love John Kuhn, we wait and see if the coaches and players feel the same way about one of their peers and one of the players they coach against in the NFL. So that would be nice to see, though. I think John Kuhn actually has a legitimate shot of making the Pro Bowl just because, he does score touchdowns. And, that's the thing that gets attention, people's attention, whether it's fans or players. You hear about John Kuhn a lot. He's in the front of your mind because he gets publicity because of the touchdowns and things like that. So, it's good to see for a guy like John Kuhn, and such a good guy too. Just, I mean, who doesn't like John Kuhn? Just a blue collar guy who blocks and is never a spotlight hog and things like that. So you cheer for a guy like John Kuhn. And while we're on the topic here, how about this Pro Bowl balloting that news leaked out earlier this week? Not leaked, it just press release from the NFL showing the results of fan balloting, and 10 Packers lead fan voting at their respective positions. 10. They vote on 19 positions total, and the Packers have 10 of them, so they're over 50%. It's amazing. So if I can, I'll try to name all of them here, and you can let me know which ones I forget. But Aaron Rodgers is the top vote getter overall among all players in the NFL, and of course quarterbacks in the NFC. You got Kuhn at fullback. The Packers have a clean sweep along the offensive line between tackle Chad Clifton, which is kind of laughable seeing as how little he's actually played because of injury. But anyway, TJ Lang at guard and Scott Wells at center. You've got Mason Crosby at kicker, who I think is becoming almost a lock to be the NFC's kicker in the Pro Bowl because of how well he's done, to be voted in. I'm well aware that the players playing in the Super Bowl do not go to the Pro Bowl, but if the Packers qualify for the Super Bowl, which it's looking pretty good that they will. Anyway, on the defensive side, you've got who's leading. I think Desmond Bishop is the leading linebacker. I think Charles Woodson is the leading cornerback. So you've got all these guys, leading their respective positions. And is Greg Jennings right up there as well? I think he's might be the top leading vote getter at wide receiver, or at least one of the two wide receivers. So all these guys, right up there at the top, getting a lot of attention from fans, not just Packer fans, but elsewhere, just football fans in general across the nation and worldwide, voting for the Pro Bowl, and good for the Packers, good for them. Like I said, it doesn't mean anything yet. Voting isn't over, and the fan voting is not exactly like baseball, where the fans vote for the starters. It doesn't work like that. There's so much attention placed on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, as it's, you know, kind of considered the best of all the All-Star Games, and the fans vote for the starters, but not quite the way it works in football. But anyhow, Patrick comments on the live blog, begs the question, does half the league still think that the lockout is going on, or is Green Bay just that dominant? I think the Packers just have so many fans everywhere, and especially when they're playing well, the fringe fans, those on the bandwagon, you know, kind of come out of the woodwork when the Packers are playing really well. And as you know, the Packers kind of almost considered America's team, a title that goes to the Cowboys. But, people love the story of the Packers so much, publicly owned and a small town, things like that, that, you know, when they're playing well, people get on board. Anyhow, thanks everyone for listening in this morning to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com for our Buccaneers primer episode. Have a good weekend, everyone. Good luck to all the hunters out there. Love this time of year. I'm a hunter myself, and I'll be hitting the woods, the North Woods of Wisconsin, tomorrow morning in search of the big buck. And kind of there's a tradition, a very big hunting atmosphere in Wisconsin. You see it in the stands of Lambeau Field, all the blaze orange. And so good luck to all the hunters out there, and good luck to the Packers on Sunday as they take on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So have a good weekend, everyone. Come back here to Cheesehead TV for all our coverage of the game, our live blog on Sunday, and everything all year long. For our live blog directors today, John Rahor, Jamie Jors, thanks, everybody, for joining us. Thanks to Nathan Yonke of Pro Football Focus for joining us for an interview today, and we will see everybody later. I leave you today with a song called Words, but from Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack, go!